Inflation is out of control. Gas hit $7 a gallon in certain states. A 10-year-old Honda Civic is going to set you back around 15 to 20 grand. And rent is averaging $2,000 a month. Welcome to 8.6% inflation. And it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. So what can you do? You can try trading stocks or buying mutual funds, but returns are sinking quickly. You might have heard about gold IRAs, but you don't know much about them. That's why Noble Gold has a team of experts at the other end of the phone. They'll set you straight on what you can and can't do to get yourself to financial safety again. And if you act now, they're giving away an incredible 1/10 ounce American Eagle Gold proof coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with gold or Noble Gold. Call them now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit them at noblegoldinvestments.com.
My sense is the squeeze, and it may have something to do with that Texas billionaire 2 weeks ago. They announced that she had bought $50 million worth of silver. It doesn't take very many people moving in those circles to start to allocate to real assets to have a really meaningful impact on the physical availability.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. That was my longtime friend and silver and gold analyst, David Jensen. And you're really gonna wanna hear this one because David quantifies how, if the global slave masters do not get their way with the Great Reset, silver and gold, silver specifically, is going to be revalued at prices many dozens of multiples higher than its price today. This is the plan to terminate the World Economic Forum's global digital enslavement plan with physical silver. Before we start, just a real quick word about our sponsor. Bitcoin generally seems to do the opposite of what people predict it will do. My digital money is here to give you the facts about the crypto market, and the fact is that every dip is an opportunity. Billionaires celebrate dips. That's when they buy. When Bitcoin dipped to $17,000, it was institutional investors and billionaires that bought. When you're ready to invest in cryptocurrency, my digital money is here. Whether you want to own a crypto IRA or trade in cash, my digital money is a US-based crypto company that will answer your call. And they're ready to help you every step of the ups and downs. You can call them at 833-636-2008 or visit them directly at mydigitalmoney.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGTReport.com. I'm thrilled to have you all back, and I'm thrilled to have a conversation today about real money, honest money, silver and gold in physical form. And to that end, we have on analyst David Jensen. He's intelligent. His information is quantifiable. He does deep research. He's been booted off of Twitter and LinkedIn, but you can find him now on Substack at jensendavid.substack.com. He's also on gab/David Jensen. That's J-E-N-S-E-N. I'm delighted to have him back. David, how are you?
I'm well, Sean. Thanks for the kind words, and great to talk again.
Great to have you back. Let me start with a screen share from the vaunted phaser.com. That's one of my websites. And I shared this one from David just a week ago, terminating the World Economic Forum Global Digital Enslavement Plan with silver. Guys, I think this is a must watch. I think it's very lucid and very engaging. We're going to talk about it today, but let me do a screen share here, guys. This is the Biltmore Mansion in Asheville, North Carolina. I toured it as a kid, and it didn't mean that much to me then. I would like to go back now as an adult to take in the grandeur of all this fiat funny money and what it can buy. The other place I would very much like to tour, and I'm not a big tours guy, David, but if you'll bear with me, this is the other place I'd like to go, Rothschild's Watson Manor in England. These people printed up so much money that they could build estates like this one and then just give them away to the state. Rothschild funny money. Boy, it's incredible what it will buy, especially when they demonetize physical gold and physical silver, and then we rely on their fiat funny paper. Well, then they just get to buy up everything on planet Earth, all of the real assets owned by the central bankers. David, you know where else I would like to visit? One more tour I'd like to take. I would love to see that mysterious COMEX warehouse, that CME COMEX vault in New York City. I really want to see all of the millions, I guess, billions of ounces of silver they must store there. I would really like to see it with my own eyes. Does it even exist?
Well, putatively, these are a series of 9 vaults of banks that are reporting to the COMEX, and they, you know, allegedly hold about 335 million ounces of silver. The largest vaults are in London, and they hold in round numbers around 1 billion ounces of silver. But what's really, really interesting, Sean, is that a couple of things is that, you know, the 1.4 billion ounces or 1.3 billion ounces in total visible holdings of these major banks, the bullion banks. Number one is that a large piece of those holdings are held or owned, putatively owned by the exchange traded funds, number one. And number two is that that only a fraction of that metal, of the remaining metal, is necessarily available to market. We have no idea of the exact number of ounces which are available to market to clear trade. So, and then I guess the joining comment that would go with that as well is that the central banks hold no silver. They hold a lot of gold and can step into the market and play an intervening role there. But what's so interesting about the silver market, and it's very similar setup now to what we saw back in 2016 when you and I were talking about the palladium market, is the fact that there's real tension building in the market here in terms of the lease rate, which I take as one of the few indicators of supply and demand. If you've got trading of silver as we do now with just promissory notes in London and New York, there's no reflection of supply and demand there. But we're seeing the lease rates, which are indication of availability of physical metal in the market, is starting to rise now. And it's rising to levels not seen since 2009, after which silver shot up four or five times up to $50 US an ounce, $49 an ounce.
I want to ask you how we terminate the World Economic Forum's Global Enslavement Plan with silver. I think that's a great title. As you know, these demon creatures at Davos and at the World Economic Forum, they want to put us all on their digital plantation. They want to get rid of fiat altogether. They certainly don't want to go back to honest money, gold and silver, obviously. So what they want to do is put us all on their digital enslavement dollar. And if they don't like our politics and we get bad social credit scores because we speak out against things like the mRNA bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, we speak out against open borders, Biden's open borders, or we speak out against fluoride in the water or other things, well, then your social credit score takes a nosedive and you no longer get your digital allotment of dollars. That's what they want, David. So where do you want to start? How do we terminate the WEF Global Enslavement Plan? I would note that you also sent me two slides, the actual silver demand summary and that chart that you mentioned about gold, silver lease rates. I want to show both. So where should we start?
Well, let's dig into just a couple of points. Just a couple of points now before we dig in any deeper. Number one is that the World Economic Forum is really tied at the hip with the Chinese Communist Party. The deep pockets associated with the World Economic Forum are promoters of the CCP and really their social credit style control system. And we've seen the social credit system kick into operation in China recently with individuals trying to pull their money out of their bank accounts because of concern about the liquidity of the banks. And what China ended up doing, the Chinese banks ended up doing, was take their vaccine passports, which are digital on their phones, and turn them to a code black so that they weren't able to be mobile and access their assets in the banking system. So, you know, this is just a front runner and a warning to us in terms of the implementation of these social credit scoring systems and digital systems and how they can be turned against individuals. So I think the place to start with is just the view of the World Economic Forum as a whole and their continual pushing of digital money and the central bank digital currency, which central bank digital currency is a currency of which there's no physical holding of any bills or any kind of physical manifestation. Everything is digital. And of course, if you don't have your currency in your hands, it can be switched off if it's only living through your phone or through an implanted chip, as is being encouraged by many financial institutions, especially in Europe now. So, you know, we can see this plan and the promotion of everything digital by the World Economic Forum and the reliance of the use of the central bank digital currency, which is also being encouraged. So when we look at that and then look at gold and silver, now gold and silver aren't currencies. They're very different from the central bank digital currencies because they are money. And one of the requirements, there's four requirements. Aristotle had four elements of money. And one of the elements of money is that it has to have intrinsic value. And there's certainly no intrinsic value to either a digital currency or to a fiat debt currency to the holder. So what we have here is gold and silver, which have a 4,000-year history as money. We've really only been on this fiat currency kick now for about 115 years. But we have a very, very different style of system, which fiat currency is meant to combat. And that's honest money, it's fair measure money, and it's money that has intrinsic value. So if we look at gold and silver, we can see that there's large, very large holdings of gold by the central banks and the major financial institutions. But there's almost no silver held by the institutions in terms of liquid silver that's available to market. So number one, intervention is quite difficult to do. And number two, the second element about silver is the fact that there's about 45 billion ounces that have been mined throughout history, and fully 25 billion ounces still remain above ground, whether it's in industrial applications, high voltage applications, or solar panels. But a very large amount of that 25 billion ounces is still in citizen hands. So it's in form of what they call junk silver, which is old quarters and half dollars and dimes, etc., and various coinages globally. And it's in bars and rounds and newly minted coins as well. And it's in things like silverware. But you know, the problem that we have is that silver has been trading with these promissory notes now since the late 1980s. On the COMEX and in London when they instituted these unallocated contracts or promissory notes in substitution for having to actually have the bullion to trade it. And so what we have now is that people have forgotten about their silver because it's been so lowly valued through the ability to control the price using promissory notes. But we're seeing that start to change now, Sean, in terms of the fact that we're seeing a rising lease rate. The slide that you have up right now, if we look at that market balance, we can see in the last 4 years, we have a total of about 540 million ounces of silver bars that have had to be pulled out of inventories globally. The 1,000 ounce industrial bars that had to be pulled out of inventories to meet market demand. And we can see there that in 2022, the estimate is only of about 100 million ounces or 96 million ounces in terms of a deficit that has to be pulled in to meet the market demand. Now, if you go to the lease, the silver lease slide. Yeah, here it is. So we can see that the lease rates now are and these are implied lease rates, by the way. They're calculated from the futures market and they typically understate by a couple of percent the actual lease rate in London. But it's fine because we can see trends. And what we can see with this implied lease rate here is that the lease rate now, and it goes back actually further than this graph, but they're spiking now up to levels last seen in 2009. And those lease rates, the tension in the market and the high lease rate is indicating a shortage of metal available to the market of physical bars. And by the way, in 2009, that was just before we saw that 4 or 5 times run in the price of silver, the last time we saw this level of lease rates. So with the combination of, and once again, to the point that's only with 100 million ounce deficit in a billion ounce market. So we're seeing here that just a 100 million ounce shortage in 2022 is enough now to send the lease rate up to the, you know, the high 1.5% level In terms of borrowing it. And that lease rate is typically in the negative realm when there's adequate excess of silver available to the market. So it appears now that we're reaching the end of the easily available silver to the market. And so how this can be utilized to combat the digital control system, digital currency and social credit system being pushed by the CCP and by the World Economic Forum, is that the opportunity now is with continued demand for physical metal from the market, that we can actually break the price containment of silver, just as the price containment of palladium was broken in 2016, and it was returned to a more or less a supply and demand market, not a paper-driven market. But because of the shortage in 2016 in the palladium market, we saw a 5x move in the price subsequent to that, still holding near those levels. And I think we're at the point now where we can have a breakage of the paper control of the silver market. And I think the important thing is that the breakage of the price control is happening at a time where there's incredibly loose monetary policy globally from the central banks. And citizens' attention is going to be awakened over time. They're still asleep on silver. A very, very small percentage of the population is aware of its value. But as the price resets to a much higher level, people are going to wake up. And I think what we're going to see now, Sean, is a rotation of that, of at least a portion of that 25 billion ounces of silver that's in the hands of citizens, and start to see it rotate in the economy of it as an alternative form of payment. So by actual having just a small portion of the population utilizing the silver that they have and creating extra demand for silver in terms of utilizing it for payment, is that we can maintain pressure on this physical silver market. And the 25 billion ounces that's been parked and long forgotten about, and believe me, this was not unintentional. Your fiat debt money only works while people don't want alternatives. Mm-hmm. It will start to rotate as a parallel payment system in the market. And it's very, very frustrating for the central planners to have the idea of citizens utilizing silver, because the metal is so dispersed, the wealth is so dispersed in the hands of citizens, and it can be used as a person-to-person payment platform outside of the social credit system and outside of the central bank digital currency system, which they have had in planning for a very, very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you, though, about leasing precious metals. So you recall, of course, who Adrian Douglas was, the Gatta Board member. I think he died in about 2013. You know, I featured him in a video I did way back in the day, 2012 or so, in which he was talking about hypothecated and rehypothecated gold. Yes. I'm sure the same thing's going on with silver. So when people lease these things out, help me through this. I don't know if I have this right, but you know, when Warren Buffett called gold a barbarous relic, you just store it. It doesn't pay out dividends. It's worthless, da, 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 da. I don't think he feels that way now. But the point is, these companies, these vaults can lease out the metal and get a return on that metal. But does that not lead to the possibility of hypothecation and rehypothecation? Who actually holds the metal? Somebody might hold a paper claim on the metal, but so does somebody else. According to Adrian Douglas back in 2012, it was something like 100-to-1 paper. Explain these leases. What is this all about? How do you lease out silver, which, by the way, is mostly used up in industrial demand? So why would you lease it out? Help us through that.
Yeah. Well, just a quick point on Adrian Douglas. He alerted the world, I believe it was in 2010, the CFTC hearings that Gary Gensler held regarding the gold market. And he alerted the world to, I think it was of the order of, he said 30 million ounces a day being traded in London. But in actuality, I mean, those numbers in terms of gold had spiked to the 200 to 300 million level. And that was only revealed a year later through the LBMA releasing a study, which was a survey of the bullion banks, and they only looked at a fraction of the banks and found that there had been 10 times higher levels of trading than had previously been released by the LBMA's own agreements. So, you know, Adrian Douglas was a real hero for raising the flag, but he was only aware at the time because of the hidden statistics at the LBMA of, in terms of the true market.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just got goosebumps because a lot of this stuff goes down the memory hole. And then when you have a friend like you on and we talk about this history, it all comes flooding back to me. I believe it was at that same CFTC hearing where Harvey Organ was there. And I think Adrian Douglas might have been there to back up what Harvey Organ was saying or vice versa. But Harvey Organ was talking about trying to see the metal he had in storage and get his metal back from Scotia Macata. And he finally was allowed into the vault. And there was barely anything in there.
I'm Adrian Douglas. So I'm assisting Harvey.
All right, sir. Yes.
So is my microphone on?
Yes.
I'd just like to make a comment about, we're talking about the futures market, hedging the physical market. But if you look at the physical market, the LBMA, it trades 20 million ounces of gold per day on a net basis, which is $22 billion. That's $5.4 trillion a year. That's half the size of the U.S. economy. If you take the gross amount, it's about 1.5 times the U.S. economy. That is not trading 100% backed metal. It's a fractional reserve basis. So, you can tell that from the LBMA's website because they trade in unallocated accounts. And if you look at their definition of unallocated account, they say you're an unsecured creditor. Well, if it's unallocated, if you buy 100 tons of gold, even if you don't have the serial numbers, you should have 100 tons of gold. So how can you be an unsecured creditor? Well, it's because it's fractional reserve accounting. I mean, you can't trade that much gold. It doesn't exist in the world. So the people who are hedging these positions on LBMA are essentially, it's paper hedging paper. And while Chilton uses the expression stop the ponzimonium, you know, this is a Ponzi scheme. That the because gold is a unique commodity, and people have mentioned this, that it's left in the vault, it's not consumed. That means that most people trust the bullion banks to hold their gold, and they trade it as on a ledger entry. So one of the issues we've got to address here is the size of the LBMA and the OTC markets, which are supposedly backing these positions, which are hedging, but it's paper backing paper.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Well, wouldn't you know it, the CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. And if you act now, they're giving away an incredible 1/10 ounce American Eagle Gold proof coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with gold or Noble Gold. Call them now at 877-646-5347 to find out more, or visit them at noblegoldinvestments.com. I mean, he was shocked at what low levels of actual physical gold and physical silver they had in the vault at Scotia Macata, which might be why Scotia Macata has since gotten out of the business and they're not one of these vault companies anymore, are they?
Yeah, no, Scotia Macata was actually shut down by Scotiabank after it had been in operation for 200, and Scotia Macata was a 250-year-old company. They were shut down, and they dumped what appears to have been the dumping of the silver into the market that happened in 2020 and 2021. I guess primarily 2021, but Scotia Macata sent signals that its silver would become available, and it's believed that a very substantial amount of silver hit the market. But Harvey Organ, you know, I think his observances were probably quite accurate in terms of the situation in the market, in that these banks until now have only held a fraction of the actual metal of which they have claims. And this is where physical shortage blows up the market, Sean, is that, okay, you can lease some silver into the market, but what we can see here is that the rising rate of this silver lease rate is of a level that is telling us that there's actual physical shortage in the market. And when you have physical shortage, it absolutely kills the price containment tools of selling unallocated promissory notes into the market. Here's a promise for silver, into the market, because what happens is that the bullion banks can't sell these promissory notes and take out the stop losses and cascade down the price by selling, you know, abundant amounts and multiples amount of the actual silver that's really available. So the rising lease rate is telling us that there's tightness in the market, and the tightness is increasing. And it's really a forewarning to us, if it continues, that we're now going to see actual supply and demand take over. You cannot contain the price with promissory notes when there's physical shortage, because if you sell a promissory note into the market, you're going to get demand for delivery when there's shortage. And that's what sends the bullion banks running.
Okay. In this spike down here, this crash, is that the COVID crash? Is that when everybody freaked out because COVID lockdowns?
Yep. And it's likely that a lot of that Scotiabank silver hit the market during that time as well.
Okay. Now, as it pertains to terminating the World Economic Forum's global enslavement plan with silver, maybe you're sort of angling the same way I have been in terms of telling guests that thank God we have 50 states. And if and when the dollar collapses and things really go full bore tyrannical, World Economic Forum, universal basic income, this type of thing, states could, like Florida, Texas, South Dakota, they could issue currency from their own treasuries, issue their own currencies and back them by silver and gold. I mean, that's one way to defeat these people.
Yeah, but I mean, it's even more powerful than that, Sean, in that the 25 billion ounces are distributed globally in citizen hands. And the point I'm trying to highlight is the fact that when you have the breakdown in paper price containment, as appears to be happening right now with the tensioning increasing more and more in the market, is that with a sustained secular rise and of silver and the breaking of the paper chains that have held it down and created the artificially low prices, and resulting in the fact that the value of silver has been memory hold for many generations. As the silver rises and citizens become aware of its value, it becomes a form of market, a free market money, just in the fact of the silver itself. Now, there's issues of is it fraudulent or not and other things, but there's there are ways to confirm the purity of the silver that you're receiving. But the point I'm trying to make here is that we're not waiting for states to issue their silver currency. We're waiting to see this giant wheel, as I refer to it, of 25 billion ounces slowly start to creak and start to turn again, and acting as an alternative medium of exchange, which will be very, very much disliked by the central planners and the CCP and the World Economic Forum.
I'm at the usdebtclock.org here. $30 trillion in stated U.S. debt, and these criminal vipers, these Democrats, just passed another $750 billion, essentially Build Back Better plan. By the way, they're going to tax the middle class, friends. They're raising the taxes on the middle class. That's how they pay for all this crap. They're complete and total criminals. Now, if you look down on the lower right of this website here, you see a paper to gold ratio claim of 112 ounces of paper for every 1 ounce of physical. And according to this website anyway, and I tend to believe it, paper silver, 356 ounces of paper silver for every 1 ounce of physical. I just show that, David, because I know in my heart and soul, and I can quantify it. I have in many interviews like this one, the manipulation of the prices of silver and gold. Well, we've been whipsawed by the banker paper. I mean, some days a billion, 2 billion ounces of paper sold into the market to nosedive the price. And there's been research that's been done that shows if you take out the New York Open over the past 20, 30 years, if you take out that New York manipulation, the real world price of silver today, just trading overseas, $225 an ounce.
Yeah. There's one other element to this too, Sean, is that the $30 trillion of debt in the upper left corner there, that's just the U.S. national, the federal debt. But when we look at the Federal Reserve Flow of Funds Report, which looks at federal, state, corporate, municipal, consumers, the school debt, school board debt, in total, we're over $90 trillion now. So it's actually three times higher than just that U.S. national or U.S. federal debt. So the leverage in the system of real assets versus paper is extraordinarily high, and it's growing at a very, very high rate. And the problem that we're facing now is with $90 trillion of debt in the system, the Fed is raising rates now. And just keep in mind, with $90 trillion of debt, every 1% that the interest rates rise results over time as the debt rolls over and becomes fixed at a higher rate. But each 1% results in $900 billion of additional interest payments per year. So you've got a $25 trillion economy, and we've got to ask ourselves, well, how high can they raise interest rates? They're adding, for every 1%, almost $1 trillion in annual interest payments to the burden in society. And I would argue that that we're probably near the level of what can be tolerated, or maybe past it, which is why we're seeing all these leading indicators starting to plunge now. And this mushrooming credit card debt that is rising, and the refi borrowing on houses, etc., and the default, spiking default on, or the turning of the default to much higher levels on these different styles of high risk debt. So I think we're getting to the edge here, Sean, and as this devaluing of the currency, the debasement of the currency accelerates, we need a very, very tiny portion. And my estimate is, under 100 million ounces of additional demand in a 1 billion ounce market. So under 100 million ounces of silver in a 1 billion ounce market per annum is enough here that it's going to start to seize up the physical availability, given the bleed off that we've seen over the last 4 years of almost 550 million ounces of silver from the inventory. So I think we're very close now to the end of the available inventories to market, and the fact that it's not held by the central banks and not held in the hands of the government sources, which would like to see this price contained, argues for the fact that we're going to see much, much higher prices of silver.
Help me break down these numbers here, and I'll just say this, that as it pertains to mining the stuff out of the ground, I've talked to Keith Neumeyer, people that actually run mines. It is coming out of the ground, silver to gold. The ratio is closer to 9 to 1. 9 ounces of silver they find for every 1 ounce of gold. Now, the manipulated price due to paper manipulation and the banksters, the silver to gold ratio is, what is it now, 80, 90 to 1, something like that?
Yeah, it's close to 100 to 1.
100 to 1.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a very good point. And that really is an indicator of the containment effort that goes in to the price of silver in the markets. Both Germany and the U.S. in 1873 demonetized silver, so they didn't define their currencies as units of silver anymore. And ultimately, at that point in 1873, the U.S. dollar became denominated as a unit of gold. And the reason for that is that just this point that we've been addressing here is that the silver is so widely dispersed and throughout history has been the major day-to-day unit of exchange between citizens. And that is really, it appears to me, what was the goal of this switching of these two major monetary units to gold from silver, is that the gold was so much more closely held by the monetary interests and by governments at the time, and certainly the throttling or the cutoff of availability of liquidity to the market is a way to bring down the debt bubbles, so you can run that wealth, let's call it the wealth ratchet, where markets and bubbles are blown and then availability of credit is cut off, you start to have default on debt and the markets crash, and then those who are in the know are able to buy assets back at pennies on the dollar. And so what we, I think the key here is the fact that, you know, silver is running at half of its 1980 high, or less than half of its 1980 high price, while gold is running at more than twice its level. And I think the key to remember here is that silver is the wild child. It's the uncontainable once it gets going and citizens are woken up. And it appears to be critical that individuals not be aware of what they hold in their hands in various forms, long forgotten in terms of its value, to ensure that it doesn't start to rotate. Because if it does start to rotate and circulate as an informal secondary medium of exchange, it will ultimately terminate the digital prison plans and the digital control plans that the WEF is promoting through both the social credit system and the central bank digital currency.
Well, not to dwell on this pie in the sky stuff for too long, but these numbers here are worth trying to break down a little bit. The dollar to gold ratio in 1913, $29 an ounce. So a gold eagle, what'd they call them back then? They were called St. Gaudens. So a St. Gaudens gold coin in 1913, $29, I guess, was the value. Today, based on all the paper printing of just dollars alone, it should be $10,474 per ounce for 1 ounce of gold. And I don't even think we're talking about Japanese yen. We're not talking about euro. We're not talking about yuan.
That's right.
Just dollars. Okay. So I don't know what the price really truly should be when priced in fiat paper that floods the world. But how about silver? In 1913, if this information is right, the dollar to silver ratio was $2.65 per ounce. The dollar to silver ratio today is $1,400 per ounce. And silver is trading at about $21. Come on. It is really the most undervalued tangible asset on planet Earth, is it not? Silver?
I mean, there may be ones that we don't know about, but it's really incredible given the amount of fiat debasement and abuse that's happened over especially the last 40 years, how low the silver is priced at $20 in round numbers today, an ounce versus 49 at the peak in 1980. It's really silly. And that it tells us something there. It's evidence of something. And that is the fact that I think that there's just tremendous effort to not have citizens globally understand the value of what they hold so that it doesn't start to circulate. But you remember the World Economic Forum's motto is you will have nothing and you will be happy. Mm-hmm. So you will have nothing as long as you believe the digital paper price. But I think what's happening now is on so many fronts now that the plan, the World Economic Forum's plan and promotion is falling apart, as I believe that the silver containment of its price is falling apart as well.
When you say the World Economic Forum's plan is falling apart, I tend to agree in that people are waking up to it. Steve Bannon is talking about the Great Reset. Steve Bannon, yeah. You mentioned to me this morning, just interviewed, I think for at least the second time, Alex Jones, who, by the way, just went through an absolute joke of a kangaroo trial. But the point is the World Economic Forum's plan is crumbling because informed patriots are talking about it and saying, hey, this is nothing but absolute global tyranny and it must be rejected. So tell me about that. Steve Bannon interviewed Alex Jones today. You told me I missed that, but I'll go check it out.
Well, yeah, I just thought it was interesting. It's a 45-minute interview that he spent talking to to Jones. And I mean, you can think of Alex Jones what you want to think of him, but the bottom line here is that the trial appeared to have been fundamentally unjust in terms of not being able to present evidence on Jones's part and being defined as guilty before the actual, in front of the jury, before the jury had a full chance to digest the information. So, I mean, why focus on Alex Jones like that? Why is he that important a guy? And I think that the bottom line here is that he's giving a view of things. It may not even be now. It may be they're looking forward to the future, is that here's a populist who's got a large audience, as does Bannon. And guess who else is in court now is Bannon as well. So I think what they're doing is they're going after the populists. It appears they're going after the populists. And the whole thing here is to contain the narrative. And just to cut out here, Sean, it's, if you go to Rumble, you can see the interviews, Rumble War Room.
Oh, by the way, before I do that, did you see, well, there it goes, but did you happen to see that testimonial, that spot, that PSA from Dick Cheney trying to promote his demonic daughter, Liz Cheney? By the way, I made the point recently, we were out to eat with this woman who turns out she was a Democrat, but she told me she was well-read. And get this, this is how brainwashed these people are. She likes Dick Cheney because Liz Cheney was on the Jan 6th committee selling out this nation with lies. And therefore she believes that Dick Cheney is a good guy and Liz Cheney is a good woman. But the point is that PSA from Dick Cheney tells you everything about this deep state, deeply rooted New World Order, these demons that have sold out to globalism. Dick Cheney being a war criminal, an absolute war criminal. To me, that PSA serves to do nothing more than harm Liz Cheney, who is already loathed by most right-thinking Republicans and conservatives. So I'm sure you saw that Dick Cheney spot where he calls Trump a coward. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I mean, he's retired. Cheney's retired, and I think he should stay retired. You know, the time of his games is coming to an end here. But I think the key here is that the message in that I'm getting from this form of lawfare, which is being pushed by the establishment against populists, is the fact that they want to shut down the voice of the populists now, but you know, unless you shut down the internet, I mean, good luck with that, because I just, things are advancing so quickly. And the you know, the digital chains of the you'll have nothing and we'll be happy crowd, I think becomes very, very clear. But it's falling apart. Their tools and their messaging and their plans, I think, are falling apart because people are becoming aware that they don't want to have nothing. And they don't want to be dependent on, you know, these corporatists who have basically seized control by infiltrating the various states and being able to control things. So, and I think silver offers the great vehicle here for people not to have nothing, and for the central bank digital currency, for individuals to have an alternative if they so choose.
$20.22. It's just a joke. Boy, they've really demoralized. Well, and that's been the point, hasn't it? This price manipulation program that's been going on for decades and decades as it pertains to silver is all about demoralizing people so that they don't think it has value. That's the punchline to the joke. In a world flooded with paper, you can still get physical silver shipped to your house for even with a premium over spot of what you could probably find silver for 23, 24, certainly $25 an ounce.
Yeah. And it's, they want people to be kept asleep in terms of this medium of exchange. It's essential for the digital plans that people be kept asleep. You know, the report that came out from the LBMA afterwards was the 2011 London Liquidity Survey. I just recalled that. That's what they put out in response to Adrian Douglas blowing the whistle on them.
And what did that report say? Everything's fine. The smoke you see coming from the vaults, that doesn't mean there's a fire. Please stop looking.
The London Liquidity Survey reported that it was at least that actual daily trading of gold in London was actually 10 times higher than the LBMA was reporting in its daily net settled amounts. Mm. So what they were saying was they had been flushed out.